This reading is from the first epistle of Peter, chapter 4, page 1219 in the church Bibles, page 1219, 1 Peter 4, living for God. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude. Because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what his pagans chose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing and detestable idolatry. They think it strange that you do not plunge with them into the same flood of dissipation, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to men in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen. Suffering for being a Christian. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Pleased to hear that I'm not going to talk on the whole of 1 Peter 4. In fact, I have just picked 4 verses from it. So the title in my Bible for 1 Peter 4 was Good Stewards of God's Grace. And I think in the NIV it says Living for God. So how do we do that? And what is grace? And how can we be good stewards of it? God's grace is his surprising kindness. It comes from his goodness. And that's really powerful. We're all covered by his grace. He is the God of surprises. because he can, and because of his goodness. And in this chapter, under the title Good Stewards of God's Grace, there are three points that I want to bring to you today, and examples of how we can be good stewards of God's grace. Can God use us? Yes, he can. As stewards, we are given a responsibility to share the grace of God that is poured out over us all. And it's through this grace and the gifts that he gives us that he can absolutely use us, however old or young we are, however new or old a Christian we are. And I'm a very visual person, so I've brought some things to show you today. And the first is this. They're very small, but they can fit in your pocket and carry around with you if you need to. And they are hearts. And in verse 8 we read, "Above all, love each other deeply." Deeply. That's no easy task. Is love just that fuzzy feeling, that representation that we see on Valentine's Day in these hearts? Or is it something much, much deeper? If true love can look over another's faults or cover a multitude of sins, I don't think it's just a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling, is it? How do we do this? How do we look beyond that which has hurt us, those that have upset us, that which has been done to us and wronged us? We hear now so often in the news of revenge attacks, a cycle of hatred and violence. Where does this start from, and how could we, as good stewards of God's grace, make a difference? Perhaps we need to look inside ourselves and see where the difficulty comes from. No one likes to be wronged. No one likes to be hurt or upset. That's a normal human feeling, a normal emotion for you to have, for us to have. And I'm not saying, and Peter's certainly not saying, that we don't need law and justice. In fact, Peter says in verse 1, "Be done with sin." But this is something from within us, that we need an abundance of God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to walk with us daily to truly love each other. We are called to love as our Heavenly Father first loved us. How do we do that with the neighbour we struggle with the driver that stole our parking space, with our children when they spill the 10th drink of the day on our 10th outfit? I've so often heard myself saying, two wrongs don't make a right, and it takes two to have an argument. We don't have to join in. And I think of it a bit like a game of table tennis, where the ping pong ball is going backwards and forwards, and it takes somebody to hit the ball back each time to keep the game going. But if we put our bat down or we take the ball out of the game, then it's finished, it's over, it's ended. And God sees through our sin or our wrongdoings, and he still loves us. And he still calls us back, and he still forgives us. And he sees right through our sin to the child that he created. And here is where we need to put on those eyes too and be able to see right through the things that other people have done and see a created child of God. Put down that bat and ball and replace it with love. So that's love. Next, I want to look at hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And I've got something in my basket. Pasta. Pasta and a sauce. I'm not sure as Peter had pasta and a sauce, but this is our representation now. And Peter would have been talking to people at a time where there wasn't a church as we know it, a church building as we know it. They wouldn't have met in a beautiful place like this. So without hospitality, there would have been nowhere for the people to have met. But we do have these churches today. So what does hospitality look like for us? It's easy for us to show others hospitality that are like us, those that we have something in common with, perhaps children of the same age, perhaps like interests, perhaps people that just get us, they understand us. But then you wouldn't need the instruction, do this without grumbling, I would hope. Because you would find it easy to spend time with those people. So the challenge comes when we need to extend that hospitality to those that we don't know so well, that perhaps don't get us or don't have the same life experiences as us. Maybe they don't behave like us or have the same expectations. I'm going to put this down before I drop it. So we had a really interesting conversation at home recently with my son, who had to fill out a form for uni. Where do you want to live? Who do you want to live with? What's your interest, your hobbies, your even asking what your religion was? And he said, Mum, I don't want to live with people that are just like me. I want to live with people that are different, that I can share my likes and interests with and that they can share mine with. And I thought, that's really interesting because it's so easy to slip into, well, they like tennis, so I'll stay with them, and they like the same kind of food as me, so I'll stay with them. And yet he saw the wider picture of meeting with other people. So what does hospitality look like to you? Is it perhaps taking a coffee to the homeless man or woman in the street? A smile to a person on the commuter train that you've sat next to for years but never spoken to? Holding a door open for somebody that you may just normally walk straight past? Inviting somebody to your home for pasta and sauce? Somebody from a different age demographic? Somebody that has different interests to you? It doesn't have to be expensive or hugely time-consuming. Work within your gifts. That's why God gave them to you. Perhaps that's a challenge for us all in the coming week. So in verse 10, we're told that we should use the gifts we have received to serve others. And in verse 11, Peter talks about those who speak as one who speaks the very word of God. The very words of God he is speaking about are scripture. And yes, we know that some people are given a specific gift of preaching and teaching. But we all have a responsibility to glorify God in all that we say and do. And I have another thing in my basket. Two. So I couldn't think how else to talk about serving but a tray when we serve others. And speech bubbles for speaking. It's God's grace that we're called to administer, and we have just shared the words with Leon's family. With the help of God, we will. We're not doing any of this in our strength. We're doing it in the strength of the God that has called us. I'm sure you've all heard of the phrase that says, do as I say and not as I do. And I've been pulled up by my children saying, you told me not to do that and now you're doing it. What we say and the words we speak need to be reflected in the actions that we make. If we say and profess one thing, quoting words of scripture, and behave in another, then we're giving out a very, very mixed message. The phrase, a picture speaks a thousand words, jumps out at me here. And I think if I took a snapshot of my day at different points in the day, would they all reflect Jesus? I have to be honest and say I'm not sure as all of them would, and I might like to delete some of them. Do we find it easy to speak the words of God? And I don't know about the children here, but I found it really hard when I was at school to tell people that I went to church on a Sunday morning. And if they asked me what I'd done at the weekend, I would skirt around the Sunday morning bit and tell them everything else I'd done. But as I got older, I realised that as I spoke about what I did on a Sunday morning, people were genuinely interested and they wanted to hear more. And it led to some fascinating conversations. Yes, not with everybody, but I'm sure you'd be surprised. How would people know where our strength comes from if we don't speak? Why would they know what we do, why we do what we do? Why hospitality and serving is a part of who we are if we don't tell them? And we lit the candle with Leon this morning, and we are all called to shine the light of Jesus in the world. And that involves saying and doing. And if we know the love of God in our hearts, we have a gift that is worth sharing with others. So if this is a challenge, as it was for me, simply start by sharing where you went on Sunday morning. So as we leave here today, remember love, hospitality, and speak and serve, not in your own strength, but in the God-given gifts and the grace poured out upon you. So let me pray as I close. Father God, thank you that we are your forgiven children through the death of Jesus. Help us to love others and live in the power of the Holy Spirit, to love deeply, show hospitality, and to speak your word and serve in your name. Amen.